And when you get complacent, that's when the gap between you and everybody else starts to show. When that happens, when you want to move around, it's hard for you to do because you have not worked on your skills. The best thing that I like about cybersecurity is things are ever changing. Always new tools, always new attacks coming out. It's always different things that you can learn so you can stay current. Same thing, we see in sports all the time that people who didn't work on simple things or just let their game get stale, where are they now? They possibly out the league. So do not get complacent in this thing. You have to keep on going. You have to. And it's, even if you're doing technical or soft roles, it's the same thing. I've made this mistake before, not negotiating. We have to negotiate. Everything's negotiable. I just want you to remember that. Everything is negotiable. Don't, just because somebody can offer you some more money and it may be closer to home or whatever, really get in the details of what it actually is and don't just take it just to take it. Really figure out if what they got on that job description, is that what you're going to actually be doing? I start thinking about times when I realized that companies care about business and not the person. For example, back when I did help desk, it was the time at ICE real bad in Shreveport area. And as you know, that's the South. They don't get ICE that much. And when that happened, they were trying to get us to come in. I'm like, bro, I cannot go. All the bridges are iced and you're still asking me to go into work. So right then and there, I should have known, hey, do not care so much about these companies because they don't care about you that much. They need to make money. So their job is to get you in the office any way they can. And I just like, bro, it's nothing I could do. I know they were shorthanded that day. I mean, hey, it is what it is. But that was one of those times when I realized that the company didn't care about me that much. But welcome back, everybody. It's episode 90 of the Technical Talk Podcast. Well, I'm your host, HD. Hang on real quick. We are, 10 episodes away from episode 100. And like I've been telling you guys for a while, I'm trying to do something special for the episode. Still trying to plan it out. I have more details once I know about that. But hey, if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or any other streaming service, please leave us a review and share the podcast. That really helps us on the algorithm. If you're still tuned in with us right now on YouTube, go ahead and hit that like button because, hey, it helps me out and it's the freest thing you can do. Or if you want to donate to the channel, go ahead and just join the Patreon. You get a free trial and you can see what I put in there. I'm working on giving you guys some more content. Now, before we get into what today's main video is about, I want to talk about last week. So for the people who's been following me on social media or, you know, wherever I frequent at, I've been talking about I had a busy May. As you guys know, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Orlando. And then after that, I was back in the hometown for my brother's graduation. And now, last week, I was in Connecticut and New York. And it was a team meeting event with my team. We just wanted to meet each other. I think that was the first time a lot of people met over the last 2-3 years. So I think it was pretty dope. And it's one of those ways how I always tell people, especially young people, about why company culture is so important. You can be making a boatload of money, but if the culture isn't right, then you won't be right. That should be real. But nah, it was a great time, man. It was my first time being in Connecticut, Stratford to be exact. And I actually enjoyed it. Pleasant. It was places to do. We were like downtown Stratford. So we were able to walk right to whatever street that was. They had like everything on it. So that was pretty dope. And then I also had these pictures up. So I'm going to show you right now. It's like we went to New York offices and I think Manhattan, if I'm not mistaken. So got to take the train to Grand Central Station. Got to take the subway. Went to the World Trade Center Memorial and went to the World Observatory thing. It's like 102 floors. It's very high up. And it was crazy, man. All in all, a great trip. Really got the bun with coworkers. And that's one of the ways you could build camaraderie. A lot of companies want to just rush you back in thinking that's going to help, but not really help that much. Do things that people can bond with that's outside of work to see what kind of things that we have that are also like, you know, alike. Also, one of the funnier team building things we did, like when our first little meeting was this thing, it was Guess Who? And they did celebrity lookalikes for everybody on the team. Now, honestly, I've never been called Keenan Allen, but they felt like I looked like Keenan Allen. That was kind of funny to me. I've heard Golden Tate. I've heard Andre. I think his name is Trey Byers, Andre Line. I've heard my boy from 101. I've got Columbus Short. I've got a couple of people before. So that was pretty cool. But I don't want to waste any more of your time. Let's get into what today's episode is about. This is for my people who are still pretty much in their career or they're trying to navigate and which way they want to go, left or right. You know, that you're at that fork in the road. And It's not necessarily, I mean, this can be also for, you know, in tech, specifically cybersecurity, but this can apply to anyone's career. And so here are some career mistakes that I think you've possibly been making in your career and why they've been holding you back. Number one, company loyalty. Now, at the beginning of this episode, I talked about the time how the company wanted me to come in to work and risk my life when everything was frozen because they had to keep on making money. A lot of us are loyal to companies that will not be loyal to us. I say this all the time. One of the customary things is, hey, you know, give a 2-week notice, want to be in good graces in case you come back. But on the flip side is you don't get a 2-week notice most of the time we're getting laid off, most of the time. It's, you know, the minority of good companies that say, hey, you're going to start to be laid off in, you know, 2 months. So that way you can get to looking. But most companies don't do that. So don't remain loyal. Always be loyal to yourself and to your family. That's one of the ways you can always make sure that you're putting your best self-interest first. Also, paying attention to the signs. I mean, we talked about plenty of times, me and Eric have talked about when you're talking about companies' financials, budget, things that used to happen in the past are no longer happening. All those different things, bonuses getting shorter. Pay attention to them. It's okay. I promise you. It's all right. Here's the big one. Not being your biggest advocate. All right. I got some audio that I want you guys to hear real quick, because this is going to be a big one. One of the things I was talking about on this list is being your own best advocate, right? So check this out. I want you to hear this.
Why aren't you getting noticed? Are you shy or introverted or unconsciously keeping your head down, thinking the quality of your work will speak loudly enough? Trust me, it won't. You have to be able to toot your own horn without coming off as arrogant or showy. Speak up in meetings, but seek to make the most memorable comment, not just having airtime.
All right, so y'all heard that. One of the things I talked about in my Advanced Your Cybersecurity Career course that's on LinkedIn Learning, that link is always in the description if you want to check it out to advance your career. But anyways, I talk about being visible, being noticed, and talking about your wins. No, like we said, nobody's going to care about yourself like you do. So if you're working on something, let somebody know what you're working on, but you have to be tactful about it. People will try to take your ideas and things that you did and present them as their own. Try to talk about the things in the all hands meetings or some of the shift turnovers or the quarterly meetings, right? Being visible, tooting your own horn. When it comes to your yearly review, anything that you complete, whether it's big or small, go ahead and write it down. That way, when it comes to your review, you can talk about, I did all these different things, and this is how they added value to the organization. You have to be that person. Your manager is not going to go around and say, oh, yeah, I remember you did this, this, and this. They have a million other things on their plate, and what you accomplish isn't one of them. You got to toot your own horn. So shout out to her for that. All right, here's a big one. And it's actually two different things, right? It's not networking, and this is about friends. We'll cut the friends things first. Most of those people at work are not your friends. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. And I don't want you to believe your friends. They're looking out for themselves like you're looking out for yourself. So remember that first, survival of the fittest. Always remember that. These people are not your friends. Secondly, networking. I just talked about being visible, but networking with different departments. A lot of times people reach out to me and say, hey, I want to get into cybersecurity, but I currently work in finance, or I currently work in HR, or I currently work in physical security or whatever, right? And they say, how do I get into cyber? I say, hey, how you even networked at work? Have you tried to shadow the cybersecurity team or whatever role you want to do? Have you tried to do that? It's not about who you know. It's about who knows you. Get out there. Go to some of the events. I was just telling you about, we had the team building events and all these other things. And then, you know, at the end of the day, we had these dinners where you really get to talk and you're drinking. You find out how much more things you have in common. Those impressions and your realest self is probably when you're drinking. But those impressions that you make, stick with them. First impressions are everything. So imagine if a role comes open and it's like, I talked to so-and-so. They told me they're working this and this and they're interested. I like their personality. Cool. Or if you do a lot of work with another team and you want to work with that team, talk to their manager and see, hey, do y'all have any spots open? What do I need to learn? Will you able to talk to my manager to get me over there? And if you have a real company that cares about you, they'll let you move around. A company that doesn't let you move around, that's a sign of, like, you know, they don't want you to be great. So always remember that. Third, when it comes to networking, is there are people at other companies that, let's say, for instance, right, you got in good with a cybersecurity team member at your company, and maybe y'all don't have no roles open, but they see everything you've been doing. You've been shadowing with them. You've been doing all this stuff. So you help them with documentation. They say, hey, I know this company over here is hiring. I know the manager over there. Let me tell them about you and see if I at least can help you get an interview. Those are the things that happens with your interview. I have a stat on, I believe it's in my ebook and also in my How to Get Cybersecurity webinar that's on here. I talked about, I believe, like what, 70 or 80% of jobs never get posted and they get filled internally or through networking or referrals. I'm telling you, sometimes we are so fixated on what's not going right for us, we're not realizing, hey, we are the reason why some of this stuff isn't happening. I'm the reason why I'm not getting where I want to be in my career. So you got to think about that. Here's a big one. And this is pretty funny. I got a recent client, and if he see this, he might laugh at it. I connected him with someone that I worked with in the past, well, a client I worked with in the past, and we were just talking about getting into cybersecurity and all these different things. And he was talking about learning all this different stuff and getting tired of learning. And I was like, hey, get used to it. One of the biggest things that happens to people in these careers is they get complacent. And when you get complacent, that's when the gap between you and everybody else starts to show. When that happens, when you want to move around, it's hard for you to do because you have not worked on your skills. The best thing that I like about cybersecurity is things are ever changing. Always new tools, always new attacks coming out. It's always different things that you can learn so you can stay current. You got to remember, got to keep on doing continuous improvement. That was one of the bigger terms I always took away from college is continuous improvement. That's why I've got like, what, 2 or 3 trainings I'm doing now. I would send a proposal for me to do SANS. If that's approved, then hey, I'm going to be in there. But that's how you bolster your skill set. It's the same thing. We see in sports all the time that people who didn't work on simple things or just let their game get stale, where are they now? They possibly got the lead. So do not get complacent in this thing. You have to keep on going. You have to. And it's, even if you're doing technical or soft roles, it's the same thing. You got to keep on doing leadership development, different training. How can you improve as a leader? How can you improve as a manager? It's the same thing. They have training set to do too, paying money for those TED Talks and all those different things, meeting all these C-level people. Oh, this is the big one right here. This is the big one. Gunshots for this. Bare minimum work. Now, I'm going to talk about what's the difference between bare minimum and quiet quitting. Quiet quitting would be equivalent of doing your job to the highest ability, but only doing your job. Bare minimum is half-assing your job and not doing it correctly. See, people going to remember who they work with and who worked hard. So if someone else gets a higher position at another company, this is how typically things work. Somebody else goes to another company, they remember, hey, are you looking? I just became the manager at XYZ company, and I remember you did a lot of good work. Y'all probably couldn't have worked together for 3 or 4 years, but he probably just seen you on Instagram. I'm not Instagram, LinkedIn or something. He said, I remember the stuff that you did for us. You built out this content, blah, blah, blah. You know, are you interested in coming? Are you, you know, you want to talk? Let's have coffee or whatever. Because if that person is a person who makes changes and what they say goes for as you getting hired, that's easy. But if you BS at every job you are, you just like, I used to have this thing, right? When I was working at one of my older companies and I was a lead threat analyst, some of these people were very capable of their role, but were BSing it all the time. So for that, some of those people, I will never refer to work with me. Now, there are people who did their job exceptionally well, and I always refer them anytime I can. Like, oh yeah, hey, hit them up. Go reply to that. I'm going to tell them that you applied. But if you didn't know, I've been able to interview at places just based off of a person I used to work with killing it at the current organization. They said, hey, well, if you was on his team and you feel anything like him, we want to talk to you just off the strength of that. So that's what I'm saying. You cannot complain about getting laid off or something happening to you or not getting a promotion or not being able to move around if you're at work doing a bare minimum. This is not the video for you. It's for the people who are doing a lot of good work, but they don't know how to navigate their career. And I think one of the last career mistakes I want to talk about real quick is job offers. What applicants, when they are moving around, is accepting the first offer. It was a link that I found from CNBC. And let me pull it up really quick. I think it said over like 58% of job seekers accept the first offer. Yeah. Some 58% of Americans accepted the initial offer at their current position without negotiating. Yet negotiating works. According to Fidelity, 85% of Americans and 87% of professionals ages 25 to 35 who counter on salary, other compensation or benefits, or both pay and other compensation and benefits got at least some of what they asked for. Now, this was back in, I think, 2022. But I want to tell you this, too. I've made this mistake before, not negotiating. We have to negotiate. Everything's negotiable. I don't care what number they told you. It's going to be another one that they can give you that you can take out of this thing, okay? I just want you to remember that. Everything is negotiable. My last position, I took that. Okay, also, let's even take a step back. not only just job offers, just taking a job just to take it. I took one, really wasn't that bad, but situation with travel made it worse than what it was. But second one was bad for me because of the job thing. Don't just because somebody can offer you some more money and it may be closer to home or whatever, really getting the details of what it actually is and don't just take it just to take it. Really figure out what the job is. Really figure out if what they got on that job description, is that what you're going to actually be doing? Or is it gas? Because that's what happened to me. It's like the okie doke. You get there and pull the rug up under your feet. This is not what I expected. So that's what I want to tell you. It's like, don't be hasty. Kind of settle down sometimes and really feel this thing out. If your gut is telling you don't move, just wait, just suck it up and endure a little bit longer, do it. Do it. I could have worked probably somewhere else and I accepted the offer. And then I told these people, I was like, well, I just accepted the offer. So I really don't want to waste your time. I shouldn't have did that. I should have just went ahead and interviewed anyway and just, you know, reneged on the offer if I had to, just because. Got to look out for your best self-interest, because that was a bad, 6-7 months for me and my fam. I was miserable. It was bad. So I always remember that. Everything's negotiable. Don't be too fast to move on. It's just like dating. You get out of one bad relationship to get in another one because you didn't see the signs. You just want to be with somebody. Just wait. Learn yourself some more. See what you really like. What are your non-negotiables? And what can you compromise with? And go from there. But yo, if you're watching this right now, as you know, I'm Henry Davis. I am the CEO of Textual Consulting. And I'm a cybersecurity career coach. And I've helped out countless individuals over the last 3 years. And I still want to help you out. So that's why now we offer financing for our plans if the client cannot pay upfront. So if you need help with interviewing, resume help, job search, tips, trying to how to build skills, networking, or all the above, go ahead and click the link in the description for textualconsulting.com and let's set up a consultation. And I got you. I promise you. Check out my reviews. Check out some of my video reviews. And you'll see for yourself that I'm the real deal. And, you know, I just want to help everybody out. But like I always say, let's stay textual. While we're on the topic of job scams, and funny things are happening when you're applying to jobs. So occasionally, since I have my own business, I apply to stuff sometimes like contract gigs or something and just want to look and see what's out there to be funny. I applied to a job the other day on Indeed and they keep on asking me in the messages, hey, what's my experience with a certain tool? And if I'm a US citizen, text this number. I didn't text the number because that's weird to me. I've talked to recruiters, but I've never had to initiate in that manner, answering questions and texting you. So that makes me feel like it's not legitimate. So I don't know why I would do that. So I'll just say, be careful with that. But I'm about to read you guys some stuff from a message I got from a person trying to get me to be involved with the MLM. And they're doing this on LinkedIn. And the reason why I'm going to talk about this briefly is because we know a lot of people are dealing with layoffs. Their insecurities are up because of they probably can't find work and money is running low. So sometimes you prey on those insecurities and come in and say, hey, I got a business opportunity for you. You'll make a lot of money. It's really quick. So I'm going to show you and we're going to talk about the signs. I'm going to stop when I read through it. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to also put these pictures up there for you. All right. So this guy comes out. He says, hi, Henry. I hope you're doing great. I'm looking for people who might take interest in starting a business. Your current and previous work experiences are of great potential. So I reached out. We are Christian, but are you open to learning more about potential franchise opportunities in your area? If you're open to a quick discussion, may I have your best email and phone number to set up a call? Okay, let's dice everything down for one. I've never reached out to somebody and say, are you interested in just starting a business? That doesn't make sense. Who wants to go into business with somebody they don't know? That's flag number one, because technically you're trying to give somebody a job, not a business. Number two, this dude says, are you open to learn about potential franchise opportunities? Really, do franchise opportunities? Do y'all know what it takes to get into a franchise of certain companies? I just want you to be realistic. Why, out of all people, my background doesn't scream, I'm a big entrepreneur. So that's red flag number two, right? Now, so immediately after this, you see I say, what networking company are you with? I meant to say what network marketing company you're with, but I said networking. So he replies, actually, this one is from another job that I do on the side where I look for people who are interested or have the potential to start their own business. I usually present them with concepts we have available in different industries that suit their preference to make sure it's a great fit for them. I want to show you what's best for you. That's why I reached out. Can I have it presented through a quick call? What number can I call you at? That tells you all you know. If they can't answer the direct question, red flag number a million. You can end a message, but I like to play along after things like this. The fact that he said, this is from another job that I do on the side where I look for people who are interested. I never showed interest and wanted to do this type of stuff. You got to really just slow down and read these things. Like, this person is trying to give me a good opportunity. So I said, can you answer the question? We usually initiate the call, Unri. Can I have your phone number instead so that I can schedule you a phone call with one of our consultants? I hope that works for you. I will also need your email address so we can send you some materials you can read over before the call. No. I basically didn't reply to him after that, and I didn't block him. I just posted it on LinkedIn talking about, you know, on today's episode of what MLM are you working with? Because this is very predatory. People like this, you cannot trust them. They do not have a conscience. They do not have a soul. All they see is recruiting, and they want to get you to pay some money so you can be part of their downline. It's not worth it. It's a failed business model that does not work except for people at the top. And MLM people that come in here, they'll say, oh, well, the job you work at is a pyramid scheme and it's a yada, yada, yada. Guess what? No, it's not. I get paid based on what I decided in my contract, what I negotiate. It's not a pyramid scheme at all. It's very different. When I go to work, I'm not trying to sell things. I'm not trying to get people to buy things out of me. It's not the same at all. And also, if you really want to know the truth, whatever MLM they're reaching out to you about, look at the income disclosure. That's always going to let you know, like, you know, it's a no for me, dog. That's what it's going to let you know. So I just want you to pay attention to that. And I saw, two interesting things I want to talk about very quickly. And I need to go to TechCrunch's page to talk about them. So y'all still know this is a tech podcast. And I want to talk about something that everybody talks about. Netflix. So Netflix begins its password sharing crackdown in the U.S. Netflix crackdown on password sharing is now beginning to roll out to U.S. subscribers and other markets after a delayed launch. The streamer had originally planned to introduce paid sharing to U.S. subscribers in the first quarter of this year, but pushed the start date back to the summer after seeing cancellations in markets where it had already launched the changes. Under the new rule, U.S. subscribers would have to either kick people off their Netflix account or pay $7.99 a month for an additional membership for those outside their main household. For those sharing someone else's Netflix account, they can make the transition to an account of their own through a transfer profile option that will help them relocate their existing account information, including their viewing history and watch list. I mean, I think this is big, but there's always going to be a way. It's always going to be a way to get over this. Now, I don't think it'll be an easy way. I think people do some things like FaceTime and watch movies together or something else. Maybe people might try to get sneaky with the VPN, which I don't think will work. There's going to be a way over this. But what I will tell you is this is going to be something that actually goes against Netflix, because $8 for people just to share the password, really? Now, if you would have said $2, cool, people would have went for it. But $8, no. There are other alternatives now. And Netflix is not putting out like the best content for people to watch. They have a lot of competition now with the Paramounts, with the Peacocks, with the Amazon Primes. So I think it's going to backfire on Netflix. What y'all think? And who out there sharing passwords? I know I share my stuff. I got some of my Netflix stuff right now. So, hey, I'm in it till I'm out. I'm in it till I'm out. And this other story I saw, it was pretty interesting to me. I like TechCrunch. They always on some groundbreaking stuff on here. Where is it? Amazon has this palm scanning technology where you'll be able to pay with stuff with scanning your palm to verify your age. So Amazon One, the retailer's palm scanning payment technology, is now gaining new functionality with the addition of age verification services. The company announced today that customers using Amazon One devices will be able to buy adult beverages like beers at a sports event just by hovering their palm over the Amazon One device. The first venue to support this feature will be Coors Field, home of the Colorado Rockies. Now, this is interesting because I believe this could be used in a good way to circumvent people lying about their age. Now, I don't know much about palm reading and really being able to tell, is it accurate enough to depict on how old someone is, or is it a certain range? Is the person over 20 years old or in between 20 and 30. Like, I don't know how accurate this thing is, but I think it's going to be pretty cool. I think it's going to be something that kind of shakes, you know, the game up. And like I said, another extra step of verification, especially if you forget your ID. But I think ID will always be king. I think eventually every state will just have ID apps on the phone, so you won't have to worry about a potentially meta IDs where, like, you just pull it up like this with some augmented reality stuff and people see it. I think, you know, tech is cool, but you just got to watch a lot of the stuff that's going on. Now, last week, I sent this to some of my friends that do ICS type work. Let's see, I'm going to click on this. So check this out. It's this thing called Cosmic Energy, and the malware exploits ICS protocols to sabotage power grids. Now, that's real cybersecurity in real quick. So recently, I also shared on LinkedIn about the city of Augusta was hit by a ransomware attack. And I said how I'm seeing a trend about cities not being able to respond enough to these attacks. And that's because they probably don't have the talent or the tool set to do these things. So it's something that they're going to have to address as well. But when it comes to like this, this is critical. I mean, that's critical too. Somebody on that post said that they had family members in Augusta that couldn't even go to the bus. But when it comes to this, I believe this is very interesting. We know the state of Texas, and I don't know if it's all of Texas or the Dallas area, because, you know, they had like an independent power grid, but they didn't have power during the ice storm for like 2-3 days, what, in 2020, I believe, or 2021. So let's magnify that with an actual malware that could actually take you off the grid for a while. Think about that. So let's read about it a little bit. A new strain of malicious software that's engineered to penetrate and disrupt critical systems in industrial environments has been unearthed. Google-owned threat intelligence firm Mandiant dubbed the malware Cosmic Energy, adding it was uploaded to the VirusTotal public malware scanning utility in December 2021 by a submitter in Russia. There is no evidence that it has been put to use in a while. The malware is designed to cause electric power disruption by interacting with IEC 60870-5-104, IEC 104. Devices such as remote terminal units that are commonly leveraged in electrical transmissions and distribution operations in Europe, the Middle East, and Asia, the company said. Cosmic Energy is the latest addition to specialized malware like Stuxnet, Havix, Trident, Iron Gate, Black Energy 2, Indestroyer, and Pipe Dream, which are capable of sabotaging critical systems and wreaking havoc. Many have said that there are circumstantial links that it may have been developed as a red teaming tool by Russia telecom firm Rosta Telecom Solar to simulate power disruption and emergency response exercises that were held in October 2021. This raises the possibility that the malware was either developed to recreate realistic attack scenarios against energy grid assets to test defenses, or another party to reuse code associated with the cyber range. The second alternative is not unheard of, especially in the light of the fact that threat actors are known to adapt and repurpose legitimate red team and post-exploitation tools for malicious ends. Cosmic Energy's features are comparable to that of Indestroyer, which has been attributed to the Kremlin-backed Sandworm Group, owing to its ability to exploit an industrial communication protocol called IEC 104. Leveraging this access, an attacker can send remote commands to affect the actuation of power line switches and circuit breakers to cause power disruption. This is accomplished by means of two components called PowerHop and Lightwork, which are two disruption tools written in Python and C++, respectively, to transmit the IEC 104 commands to the connected industrial equipment. To pull off an attack, a threat actor would therefore have to infect the computer within the network, find a Microsoft SQL server that has access to the RTUs, and obtain its credentials. Let's see. Discovery of new OT malware presents an immediate threat to affected organizations, since these discoveries are rare because of the malware principality takes advantage of insecure by design features of OT environments that are unlikely to be remedied anytime soon. One of the main lessons from Cosmic Energy is that defenders should be familiar with prior OT malware families, their capabilities, and how they work. Knowledge about this can help defenders to sustain threat hunting and detection programs that rigorously look for behaviors that are known to be suspicious in OT networks. Like I said, I always tell you guys, security isn't something you can really play with. That's why they get paid big bucks, because of the leverage and because of what can potentially happen on a bad day. A bad day could be a bad day for a lot of people. And so that's why they want to make sure you know what you know, and they want to make sure you know your stuff. And that's why I'm keeping it. But guys, appreciate you guys for rocking with me. If you made it this far, I want you to check out some of the links that I have in the description. Whether you want to get into tech sales, check out my course careers link. If you're interested in cybersecurity, you want a quick, affordable course, check out Josh Matacore's course on leveled careers. I also have Springboard Bootcamp. If you want something longer, about 6 months plus, with a lot of different practical labs and getting a security plus, check out Springboard. Use my code TECHUAL10 to get your discount on that course. But hey, guys, until next time, also, like I said, subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/textualchatter, where we're really trying to build a community of people and different things where you come in. We also got the Slack group. Look, it's a lot of it. Appreciate you made it this far. Leave a comment on the podcast. Leave a comment down here. If it's something else you want me to cover in next week's episode, please let me know. I do have interview episodes coming up pretty soon for you guys. You know, it's been a slow time. Everybody's been busy with it's starting to become summer. So I got some stuff coming up for you guys. Just trust me. It's going to be fire, like always. But until next time, stay textual. It's your boy HD, and I'm out.